I love it. And we'll have plenty of time to fellowship after the service, however it goes this morning. Maybe we'll end with some singing, and we got to put some tables out and rearrange some stuff. So it's going to be a bit messy, but that's what family is. If you have a Christmas dinner at your house, we have a townhouse. So when we have all the grandkids, and we got to move the tables and shift things around, but it's for a good reason, right? Yeah. So if it's a little messy later on, that's okay. We're glad to have you here this morning. Lori and I are very happy to be back. We had an amazing time. This picture is, I took that picture just to remind myself the beautiful sand and sea. I was going to say some other words, but it was an amazing time. And so we're thankful to be back here, though, and to celebrate. This is an amazing celebration day. And all the words that were shared, and I just reminded Jeff that to remember to tithe on the gifts that he gets and be faithful. Oh. So I don't want to talk too long, but usually, like Brian lied last Sunday, I listened to that message. He prayed that I wouldn't destroy the church. And he said he'd be short, and he was a liar. It's 45 minutes, but that's okay. But I've called this sermon Moving Forward in Acts chapter 2 and Joshua, and it's like both of those verses I want to preach on, but they're like both two sermons. But I got a point I'm trying to make out of it. But Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 47, could I just read that and just listen to the word of God? It says, now then, when they heard this, what did they just hear? Is the gospel, right? He's just preached, this is the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's been poured out. They're like, what is this? And Peter stands up and he says, this is that which was prophesied. And he shares about Christ, who you crucified. God has set ahead of everything. And he just lays out the gospel. And this is their response. And now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off. Hallelujah. I believe that's today. And everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, the typical preacher, with many other words, so I'm not alone in this, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And here's the first point. And they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves, amen, to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing them, the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, amen, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. Amen. That's the beginning of the church. It's descriptive. It's prescriptive. You can preach all morning on it. But what I wanted to say in light of the celebration and what this represents here this morning, I'm so thankful to God for the gospel. And it starts with the gospel. And then I got to just stick to it. Some of you guys did really well with your written words. Good job. And I'll try to stick to mine. But it starts with the gospel. Amen? That's where it starts. When the gospel's preached, a church forms around it. Lives come together. And I just wanted to start there. As we celebrate the gospel. I was just in Hillsong. I preached in Hillsong. I like saying that. It sounds good, you know. Well, I preached in Australia last week and spent, you know, the time with the Hillsong guys and just poured into them from my life. And it was very good. And it was good. But it just, I'm standing there with my grandson. We're dedicating him. They had a baptismal service. There's all these things going on. And it just amazes me of the power of the gospel. The gospel is bearing fruit all over the world. And we are part of it. And so I got to get back to, it starts there. But then the gospel, you can put up that next slide. The gospel requires something from us. It requires faith and repentance. And some would say, well, what about obedience? And I got it in there, but I want to say the gospel produces obedience. We don't start with obedience. When we get that backwards, it gets very heavy, very legalistic, very, come on, guys, you got to do some stuff. But if it starts with the gospel, and then he says, they devoted themselves. There was just this amazing joy of God because of what he did and what he represents and what it means to be saved and what it means to hear the good news for the first time and to receive it and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then from that, there's this joyous obedience. There's nothing else. What else can we do? But if we get it backwards and we start with this obedience and we start with what we must do, it becomes very legalistic and it becomes very moralistic and, you know, some do's and don'ts. And I want us to start a season, a celebration like this with the fact that we are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he has called us into this amazing life of his. And yes, then, you know, you see what they did. They gave themselves to the teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers, the miracles, the evangelism. All these things were necessary and came out of the preaching of the gospel and the coming together of the church. And that's what I see happening here this morning. The coming together of God's people. And for the only reason, it's because of the gospel. Because of Jesus. Because what he's done in our lives. And we will grow in fellowship and we'll grow in the joy of eating in one another's homes and fellowshipping together and breaking bread. That comes, but it comes from an amazing place of being saved, of being part of God's family. So I just want to start there and remind you of how important it is. The gospel is good news. It's not good news if it becomes heavy and it becomes burdensome and it becomes legalism and we get tired and we get worn down. That's a sign that I need to go back to the cross. I need to go back to, what am I doing here? Why am I doing it? And doing it as unto the Lord because of his blessing of saving our lives. So moving forward can sound like, okay, we've got more work to do. And we do. But we want to be moving forward because of God's unction and God's power and God's joy. And it's a celebration of what he's asking us to step into. So that's my message. Turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. I'm asking you to take another step to move forward. And the best example I could find in my little heart is Joshua, the story of going into the promised land. And so without taking hours, let's read just a few verses in Joshua. You say, well, how does that relate to Acts? I don't know. I don't care. It fits. But it starts with the good news. And here's what Joshua says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, nothing prophetic here. The Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. And so what I'm talking about this morning is moving forward. Israel got stuck. You can see my notes. Moses is dead. You have the end of a season, the beginning of a new season. You got to let go of the old. You got to take hold of the new. All of these are preaching points. But what I wanted to emphasize is sometimes you need to be reminded a season is over and it's time to move forward. And God's going to stretch us again. How many times in our lives, and you heard it this morning when Dave was sharing and Lori was sharing and what's your name again, Jeff? How many stories and places and churches and settings have we all been through? And the sense I get is there's a season that's ending because there's a season that's beginning. And there's more that he's asking us to step into. And he's asking us to let go. Maybe you have a certain seat. And I love it. You know, I can't even recognize some of you because I only know you by where you sit. And so now you've messed everything up and I'll have to start over again. In Africa, many times in the old days, I only got to know people by the color of their shirt because, anyhow, it was a very poor time in Tanzania. And everybody kind of looked the same, you know, they'd give the description, brown hair, black hair, and, you know, 5'2", and that's everybody. And so the only, I'd see that red shirt or whatever, and I'm a little bit stuck like that. I remember shirts better than names. But sometimes we need to be reminded that the season's changing. And God says to Joshua, Moses is dead. My servant Moses is dead. Now it's time to cross into the promised land and get ready. They were 40 years wandering around, very close to the promised land. Like when you read these stories, these last chapters, and just again as Moses repeats it and God speaks to them, and you're just like, oh man, they were so close. Should have been like 11 days or something to get there, and it's 40 years going around, and they've been very close, but they've never got there. And so here's a couple of thoughts for you. Perhaps you feel like you've been stuck in areas of your life. Maybe you wonder if you have the courage to believe again for what you've prayed for many times. All I want to encourage you is to step forward, to keep going forward. Here's a question. Ask what is in my control. What is out of my control? What can I give God to take care of that I can't deal with? And what's the part that I have to change? What do I need to do? And I like that meme. I sent it out somewhere. But a guy's standing there with a shovel, just standing. And, you know, he says, don't stand there with a shovel and pray the Lord gives you a hole. You know, it's like, get busy. Do something. And so what is it God's involved in? And what is it that we need to do in order to move forward, to get unstuck, to step into the new? Whatever picture in your mind helps you. Then if you go into Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and verse 8, and verse 12 to 13, I'm not going to take time to read them, but just let me make a point. When the ark was carried into the Jordan, the feet of the priest touched the water, and it piled up. You know that story? And so here's the deal. There's often a river before the promise. I don't know why. And there's this river flowing at high tide or whatever, high rainy season. And God says, okay, this, he gives them instructions, this is what you do. And the priests put their feet in, but it wasn't until they put their feet in the river that it backed up. And if you're reading that chapter, I've been reading it, it's still amazing to me. The water backed up to Adam, to the city of Adam. I mean, if there isn't a priest there, our Joshua with the cross, you know, making his declaration, it is finished, backing it up to Adam. You know, Joshua steps into the river with the priest, and the water backs up to Adam. And then there's nothing flowing down this way. And they walk across on dry land. I love that picture. But it's like, why is there always got to be a river? Why is there got to be this test of our lives and our faith? The water never parted until they stepped into it, until they trusted God and obeyed his word and all the good preaching we could preach right there. You know, just grafting, coming together. There's no manuals on this stuff. You know, we've been talking about this for a long time, praying, wrestling. What does that even look like? When? What? What I enjoyed the best is we say, yeah, come and check us out, and then we all leave and say, figure it out. It's kind of like come for Christmas, but we're not here. But it's good to be here. And we just say, we don't have this figured out. All I know is that I like Jeff and Lori. They're good people. And they have, their heart and their attitude is what makes this grafting work. And you guys coming with them, following them, trusting them, walking with, that's all we get. And then, I don't know, I'm jumping ahead, but I'll get there, so I'll just back off. But only God knows what that all means and how that works out. And, you know, you just got to, some of you got to just get in the river. It just piles up all the way back to Adam. I love that. And we just say, okay, we're going to be faithful. And we're going to step into this promised land. Go in, take the ground that was ours. We've been wandering by it. We've been walking past it. We got close to it. It's time to go in and take the land. So here's some more powerful points for you. Moving out of your comfort zone facilitates growth. I think God wants to grow us. Not just numbers. Grow us in our leadership. You heard some of the testimony, some of the prophetic, some of what God wants to do by bringing two churches together. We are better for it. Amen? Yeah. We're better together. Yeah. If our hearts are right and we are united and we fight for that unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace, and we don't listen to Brian insult his brother Leonard, we will grow and there will be fruit and there will be more. Because that's God's plan, and that's His purpose. Even if we don't have it all figured out, we step into the river. So here's a question for you, us all. Am I growing? Am I growing in my faith, in my relationships, in my marriage? Am I moving forward? How comfortable have I become? Okay, this is how church is done. This is my place in it. This is my chair in it. Whatever, like, this is my marriage, this is my job, this is my life, this is my relationships. No, I think God wants to just stir again and again and again and get us out of our comfort zones. Stir us into new and using our gifts. And, you know, how many people, and I'm not looking at anybody, but I know some of you, it's way better to be an evangelist in Australia than to be here, but you beggars, you got so many gifts, and you kind of just sit back. And then I hear, no, this one plays the bass, and this one plays the drums, and this one can sing, and this, well, what are you doing? Come on. It's like, we don't want to wear out the seven same guys. Let's serve one another. Let's use our gifts. Let's open up our lives and our homes and our pockets and our whatevers, that God's kingdom can be established and built. Is that okay? How comfortable have I become? Can I be more generous? That's a good question if you want to move forward. I'm not just talking about your money. Yeah, bring your money. But I'm talking about your life. Can I be more generous? And I love going back now to the book of Acts. When the gospel hit these guys, they were cut to their hearts. Everything changed. That's the only gospel I know. There is no other gospel. Everything changes. It hits right from your heart to your head to your wallet to your life. They were cut to their hearts, and they said, what do we do? Repent and believe. Be baptized. And they did it. And then what did they do? They all joined together, and they became a church, and they started fellowshipping and eating and living, and it says they were generous. A sign of a Christian has got to be generosity. It's got to be getting out of myself. And the best example I read this week in our life group was Tommy Barnett. And I want to get his quote just right. Find a need and fulfill it. Find a hurt and heal it. That's where they started. And they got the dream centers, and they got, I don't know how much going on, and you can, we used to hear Tommy preach at our pastor's conferences, and then his son or something took over, but it's like, it started with find a need and fulfill it. Get, what I'm trying to say is get past yourself. Get past me. What's in it for me? What am I getting? What can I do to meet a need? You say, well, what's the church doing? I don't know. What are you doing? You're the church. I'm the church. That's what we're doing. Yeah, and we can do some stuff together, and we do it, and we've done things in Africa and places, but what are we doing right now in our lives? That's what the church is doing, and I get excited about it, and I hear some of your testimonies of how you touch lives and help immigrants and bless people, and even the ladies going to make food at McDonald's house and whatever, just I could name stuff. Just find a need and fulfill it. That's easy. It's not hard. Find a hurt and heal it. Get involved. Pray. I could preach this all morning. Take your eyes off of me. I like these comments. You never shrink yourself into greatness. Won't accomplish great things without discomfort. To test your ability will take sacrifice. Won't test your abilities without discomfort. Hallelujah. Nobody's ever become a fitness guy like as good as I am without effort. That's a joke. You don't grow a beard in a moment of passion, all those things. You don't run a marathon with Carl just because I woke up this morning and said, I'm going to run a marathon. Hey, I could tell you stories where we tried to do that and threw up about 7 times very quickly. You want to know the story? No. We had a father-son race in Dodoma. Kyle was little, and they run the race, and then they have the fathers come. And I could tell the story of Brian swimming, but I'll leave him for another time. It's way easier to talk about him. His son does about 17 laps in the pool, and Brian's like, yeah, I saw you kind of just let up at the end there, you know, after about 25 laps. And then the father and son race comes, and Brian, after one, my father and son race, you had to run and get a beanbag, run back, run and get the further one, run back, run and get the third one, run back, run and get the fourth. And as I turned around with the fourth one, my legs weren't working. There was nothing between the brain and the lungs and the legs. And I remember looking down and I'm trying to run. And then I just wiped out on the ground, tore my pants, my knees are bleeding. And I'm going to throw up in front of this whole school and all the kids. And the father, who was actually better than me, gets on my back. And he starts. And I'm like trying to pretend this is fun. And I went behind the cars and I just tossed my cookies everywhere. So you don't just wake up one morning and decide to run a race. Don't do it. We need to be prepared. We need to test ourselves, and it's going to cost. It's going to cost us to welcome new people. It's going to cost to care about the city. It's going to cost to preach the gospel. It's going to cost to do great things for God. Lastly, maybe not last, two things. Joshua 4, verse 9, I won't read it, but he says, take stones and put them up there as a remembrance. Amen? How fast do we forget what God has done? A day like this is a day where we literally take some stones out of the river and we say, we put them there so that when anyone asks, what was that? We can say, that was what the Lord did. And even Lori blessing you with a pearl ring, I pray that it's like a little memorial, that stone that you can look back on, you can tell your grandkids, you can tell, you know what I mean? That's what we're talking about, is to put those things in place, that we remember the faithfulness of God. And I appreciate Dave and Don, just your encouraging of them, of their history. We don't just forget history. We don't live in it, but we don't forget it. What God has done, his faithfulness, matters. And we make those moments when we, you know, that's why we have weddings and we give rings, and it's why we come forward in a church or we have a baptismal service. We make those declarations. Here we are. And this is what God has done for us. And then the last thing, honestly, Joshua chapter 5, it hit me actually last night. No, the night before, I actually slept last night. We're still backwards. I don't know if it's night or day. But the night before, I was awake all night, and I'm reading this Joshua again and again, just saying, hey, God, what? Like, give me something. Like, you know, the more you read your own sermons, it's like, is that it? It's like, Lord, you better do something here. And what hit me is in chapter 5, they go into the promised land. Just imagine the amazing, the water piled up to Adam, and they walk on dry land, and God just establishes Joshua as a leader, and it's amazing. And the first time they eat the fruit in the new land, the manna stops. They've been eating that manna for 40 years. And the first taste of the promised land, the milk and honey, manna stops. And wherever I was sitting at 3 in the morning, I'm like, it never ends. All that is preparation for the next thing. Okay, now we're going to have to start growing corn and milking cows or something. It's like manna we were tired of, but it's done. And so as we step into the promised land, as you move forward, all it is getting you ready for the next step. Amen? There's something, God does not just bring us to the promise, He prepares us for the promise. All of this wandering, all of this history, all of our lives is preparation for the promise that He's preparing for us to step into. Whether it's our marriage, our home, our church, our life, what is it that God's cutting off, and what is He going to challenge us to step into next? That's it. And may we be faithful to do it. May we do it with gratitude, with joy. And I'm telling you, the only way to sustain this, you know, did I mention that I preached in Hillsong in Australia last week? But I'm talking with a young pastor. He's an amazing young couple. I feel like an old guy. But I'm like, listen. He takes me for coffee. He just wants to pick my brains, Brian. He just wants the wisdom of God that's stored there for many years. And I'm saying, listen, you want to be doing this joyfully for the next 40, 50 years. This is 50 years. You want your kids with you. Yeah. Right now, they're just little. His little daughter was dedicated with my grandson, Michael. And it's just amazing how God mixes things together. And anyhow, I'm like, it's not about a 100-meter dash. This is about a marathon to finish well. Yeah. And so let's just be faithful. Let's just put our faith and our trust in Him. So it starts with the gospel. It starts with our faith and our repentance, which works out obedience, of joy, of serving. Like, what is it you want me to do, God? Not I have to. What do I get to do in the kingdom of God? What am I part of? What can I get involved in? And then God says, I'm going to stretch you some more. Yeah. I'm going to ask you for more. And I thought I would retire in South Africa 15 years ago. Had a beautiful home with a pool, and life was good, and this amazing church we were part of. We were one of the couples, 12 couples leading 3CIs, growing into thousands, and beautiful property. And I'm like, this is good. I had a big 1900 motorcycle. Lord, take my sweetheart up into the mountains. We'd have coffee on a Monday morning. What am I doing here when I'm talking like this? It's like, stop this. And God says, you got to move forward. And He's saying it to us this morning. He's saying it to you. And here's my last question. And I'm going to ask Pete to come. What is intimidating you? What is intimidating you from moving forward in whatever it is? What's intimidating? Money, people, ministry? I don't care. Let's take it by faith. Let's be obedient to God, to listen to what he says. Welcome.
So Len preached at Hillsong. I don't know if he told you.
Yeah, did I mention that?
You know, when there's an officiant or